Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors. And in this episode of our podcast, we are going to be talking about buying residential real estate, especially in the Texas market, because I know a lot of you out there have heard that Texas is a great place to invest. And I'm sure that many of you have already made investments there. I know I have. I went really deep in last year into the Houston area, and it was for specific reasons. The markets work. They perform. You know, I get great cash flow on the properties. There's going to be appreciation there as well. So all those things come together when you're looking to invest and you want to find the right market for you. But what's key is you work with a professional who knows the market, because I've been through this before and I know a lot of you listeners have been through it. You go into a market, you're working with someone who doesn't understand the market. You buy what you think is a great property and it's going to turn a good return for you. And it turns out that you can't keep a tenant in the property. Your property manager is stealing from you. And all you do is lose money, okay, month after month after month. And if you look back on it, it's probably because you weren't working with the right individual. Well, in this episode, we're going to be speaking with Jason Reynolds. He's a Texas broker and realtor out of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And he specifically works with a company called Visions Realty and Investments, Inc. And that company specializes in working with, get this, real estate investors. Jason, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Clint. Thanks for having me on. Excited to visit about Texas real estate.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, every one of our events that we have in Texas, they're always filled to the capacity. And we get a lot of people that come from outside of Texas, which amazes me, to come to our asset protections event there because they're also looking for properties. And, you know, that's your expertise. And so why don't you tell everyone who's listening a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this area?
Great. Well, you know, it actually started in the family. Essentially, my great-grandfather was a broker in Corpus Christi, Texas. Started in the 50s until the 90s. He had multiple offices across the state. And then that's what really intrigued me to get involved in real estate. I went to Texas A&M, got a degree in political science, actually worked in politics, had a great run, and then moved to Fort Worth, Texas, and had an opportunity to get in the real estate business. And it's been 5.5 years that I've been in the real estate business personally and been licensed. And once you're an agent for 4 years, you can get your broker's license. So I did that as soon as I could once I turned over at 4 years, and been with Visions Realty Investments for about 4.5 years now. And like you said, there's very limited brokers, I would say, across the state and also across the United States that really focus on investment properties and understand how to look at them, find them, and work with the client to analyze it. And so that's, I had a chance through Steve Fithian, who is the current broker of our office and founded the company in 1988. He took me out to lunch one time after doing a deal together, and he offered to train me and then asked me to run the company. And it's been a blast ever since. He's taught me what he knows, and we've just continued to grow from there. So that's a little background.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Why is it that a lot of agents do not work with investors or know this market?
You know, I'll probably give you the blunt answer to that. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the bandwidth or understanding. You know, usually what people deal with is realtors that don't even call them back. So if an agent isn't even good at calling them back or returning an email or a phone call, then, you know, obviously they're not going to understand what a cap rate is usually. So I think for a lot of agents, it's very complicated. It takes a lot of knowledge and time and expertise and being in it to really learn how it works and understanding the language, as opposed to just, you know, there's a lot of realtors out there that may say like, oh, of course I'll work with investors because it's a sale. But unfortunately, I've come across a lot of clients that come to us once they've already bought something and it's not performing well. It's actually performing negatively because the agent that pretended to understand it, you know, showed them the wrong numbers. And so we try our best to help them in those situations. But I really think it's just a matter of, it's just, there's not many agents willing to put in the time to really learn that side of the business.
So they're trying to take an owner-occupied property and make it a renter-occupied property. And that's just never going to work from a number standpoint. because that's all right. They know.
Or they're just hungry. You know, they're just hungry for a deal, and they're going to pretend to know how to analyze it when they don't.
Okay. So let's assume that I am in Minneapolis and I want to find an agent to work with me on finding investment grade real estate, residential real estate. So what are some of the things that the listeners who are in that situation would want to, you know, how do they vet the agent to figure out whether, you know, they have the chops and they know what they're doing?
So if you're talking specifically Dallas-Fort Worth, then call our company.
Yeah.
We would love to help you. But if you're just looking, say, anywhere, like if for me, what I were to do, if I say I wanted to invest in a different town, a different state, you know, honestly, what I would do is I would probably call the local board of realtors. And I would ask them who, you know, if they could let me know who some of their top sales agents are in that area, because they should be able to pull that data through their MLS, or, you know, some type of system. And then once you get, you know, two or three names, most likely that person has a team, but I would reach out to them and try to get a hold of that lead agent or someone high up on the team and let them know that you're looking to invest in real estate, and then do your due diligence from that point. Because at that point, hopefully they would know somebody who specializes in it, or they would have somebody on their team that does. But I would try to get three or four names. And then from that point, schedule phone calls, do your due diligence online, you know, see if they do a podcast, see if they write blogs, see what their website looks like. And then once you whittle it down to a couple, you're going to be investing money in this area, which, you know, usually is the largest asset a lot of people have. So you're going to need to actually fly. I would recommend flying there or driving wherever it's at and meeting one-on-one with those agents to actually see the team, see how they operate, ask for a tour. All of our clients that just reach out, I tell them, call me, email me, and before you invest, fly here and I'll spend a day or two with you, drive you around the Metroplex, show you what we sell, give you the highlights, and introduce you to our team. I mean, I just would expect that from somebody that would be looking. They're vetting me. And I like it when people do that.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
So when you're working with a realtor and they tell you, yes, I work with investors. Okay, great. But would you say that you have to either be all in with investors versus homeowners, or is there a happy medium? You know, if you're dealing with someone, would that, I don't know if that would be a question I would ask, or should you ask?
You know, I'm sure there are great agents or brokers out there that do half and half. So, you know, my intention is not to discredit anybody, but I would say that our company prides itself in 90-95% of our business being with investors. You know, most owner-occupant transactions we refer out because we like to be able to say we're an investment brokerage. Our primary business is dealing with investors. And that's what we are doing every day. And that's what we focus on. So, you know, I think that it's really in the person in the company. So I would say if it's an agent that's primarily doing owner-occupant transactions, then they're probably not, you know, they're not selling a lot in that field. So, I mean, you're familiar with real estate, Clint. So issues pop up that you never expect or are unique to investment transactions. So, you know, I would want somebody who's in that trench every day. So that way, when an issue pops up, they're aware of it. You know, they're familiar with it. So I think I would recommend somebody who works primarily investments, but there are cases out there. So,
well, you talk about issues. Okay. So with investment property, when you're looking to buy it, if you're going to use financing, I would assume that, you know, given the fact that you work with a lot of investors, you probably also have some lenders as well that are on your team that you can refer people to that's going to help get those loans closed. Fair enough.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, that is fair. In Texas, you're, you know, the correct way of doing it is referring at least three providers. Mm-hmm. So that's what I always do. If somebody asks for, you know, a lender that I've worked with in the past, I have, you know, three lenders that I would recommend. Now, keep in mind, I have multiple lists depending on what product my client is looking to invest in. If they're wanting, if they still have room in the 10 Fannie Mae investor loans, then I have a list of three lenders that work great for that. But if they're buying, say, a large portfolio of homes and we want to go more of a unique route with a local bank that might give them better terms in different ways, or maybe they've maxed out their 10, then we have creative ways of solving those problems. Because when you have a 1031 mortgage boot and you're trying to just figure out how to move that boot over, you have to get creative, you know, because if you're looking out for your client, we want to maximize their desire to have a successful exchange. So we're always trying to find ways to do that.
Yeah, because one of the issues that I think comes up a lot for people as they start to acquire more properties is, you know, obviously their tax return is going to look a little different. And you run into issues many times with lenders, well, actually they're underwriters, because they don't understand the investor. So if I came and I submitted my 1040, it's a residential loan, and they see that I have a bunch of LLCs on there, and they maybe it's one or two LLCs, but they own other LLCs, and they find out about it, and then they start asking for EINs and tax returns and things that don't necessarily apply because they don't understand what I'm doing. How do you get around that with the people you work for? Because that can be so frustrating.
Yeah, it really can be. And, that, you know, ultimately, I feel like that's why people hire successful real estate agents or brokers, because we're problem solvers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always trying to figure out how to make it work. But, you know, with those Fannie Mae loans, unfortunately, there's just red lines in a lot of places that we can't cross. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But that's when we go to a lot of our local lenders who look at loans based on common sense as opposed to Fannie Mae guidelines. And so that's what we would do in those cases. And, you know, because they can tell the assets that that person manages or has on their books and owns. And, you know, they're able to take much more into account, especially like the product type and where it's at. There's so many other factors that weigh in as opposed to, you know, well, this one thing crossed the line and we can't do it.
Well, one of the things too that I would imagine, if you're bringing your investors that you work with to specific lenders, and they're all current on their loans and they're paying them down like they should be, I'd imagine that then you develop this rapport with these lenders where they know that you're always bringing in good product, good people to put together a loan. And that helps move that process along.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you build a reputation. I mean, it's with any career, you know, really. But if you bring deals over time and you're known as a deal maker and that you're reputable and you associate yourself with those type of clients, you're right. There's trust that's built there and they're willing to make a deal work, especially if they trust you and you've been doing business with them for a long period of time. And that's, you know, I've been in the business 5.5 years. But luckily, I just happened to join with Steve, who's been in the business since the 80s, really starting in California. So being able to associate with somebody who's been known as a deal maker and has an incredible reputation has been extremely valuable to me.
And just to finalize this point, working with a realtor or broker who has those financing connections that speak directly to the investment you're making, I think that's invaluable. And so any investor that's looking to invest out of state, like they're going to go to Dallas and work with you, or they're working in a different market, they need to be asking those questions of that realtor and saying, do you have these types of connections in your book that you can associate with back to me so I can close on these properties?
Well, and not being afraid to do that and not being afraid to ask, how do you analyze your properties? Show me your analysis report to see how you break it down so I can compare it. You know, introduce me to some of your lenders. I mean, there's so many questions. Or how many investor deals did you do last year? There's so many questions that can be asked to vet somebody. I mean, if you were to get knee surgery, are you going to ask your surgeon a few questions before you go on the operating table? Probably. Yeah. So I would just expect the same. You know, if you're spending even $150,000 on a house, why would you not do your due diligence and ask the hard questions up front? So that way you have a better
experience. Can you give referrals? If I asked you, can you provide me 7 investor clients that you've worked with so I can vet you? Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I have a list of actually less than 7, you know, 3 or 4 that I've vetted and they're ready to go to talk to. But no, there's no rules against me. If I had a client that requested 7, well, then I'm just going to call 4 more people that I've worked with over the last 5.5 years and ask them if I can go ahead and share their information. There's no rules against that. No.
Got it. And those four people do not have the last name of Reynolds, do they?
Yeah. No.
They're my brothers.
Yeah.
Reynolds the second, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when you go into another market outside of your local area, you get your property, that's only part of this. I mean, now that you own the investment, you got to make money at it, and you're not there to manage it. So how does the management piece, come into play? Do you find the property management teams? Should you expect your realtor to do that for you, or do you have to do it on your own as the investor?
Yes, if you're the investor and you're making the decision, then the buck stops with you. So my recommendation is always that, get recommendations, but always vet who is recommended. With us, it works out particularly great because, Steve started the company in 88 and then moved to Texas in 1990. And that's when Visions Realty Investments really grew. He built it off of foreclosure sales. But once he helped clients build a big enough portfolio, he saw the need for property management. So that's where Frontline Property Management came into play, which is a sister company to Visions Realty and Investments. So we have a separate office, but I could walk out of the door right now and be in Frontline Property Management. So it works out very nice in a sense that it's really a turnkey solution on our side. When we have a client that reaches out about investing, then obviously I'm going to introduce them to our team and show them what we do. Whenever there's somebody new, I have no qualms if they ask, well, what about this company? What about this company? Whoever works best for them, that's great. But usually, when they see our team and they see our process and how smooth it is, and then how happy our clients are, then they choose to go with us because they're out of state. And it makes it a very simple, more hands-off, because the whole idea is passive cash flow, for most investors. So our goal is to help facilitate that as much as possible. And it works great by being right next to each other.
Yeah, bringing it in-house, definitely I can see the benefit to the investor because you're going to want to make sure that that side's taken care of because you're telling someone you're going to get a 6 cap on this property. And if they're pulling a 2 because it's poorly managed, they're not buying any more real estate from you.
Right. And so that's where our skin is in the game. And I feel like that's a great thing too. When clients vet us and like both companies, at the same time, I'm referring them over to Frontline and I office here. And I tell them, if my clients are unhappy, I want them to let me know. So, if there's ever a hiccup anywhere, great. I could go next door and work through it to find a solution. But again, our skin is in the game and theirs is as well. So that's why we work so well together.
So right now, what I've been seeing, and it's something that I've been exploring as well with my own investing, the difference between you going new built versus existing for investment property. Do you got any comments one way or the other on that? Are you seeing that investors are coming to you and you're going more the new built route just because prices have come up so much on existing properties in the last 3 years that when you weigh the difference in price between a new property that you're going to turn into a rental versus existing property, that CapEx that you're going to have starts to eat into your cap rate?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if I had a new client that came, how I would address that is it really depends on my client's goals. That's what we always start with is what's their stage? What is their long-term plan? And with new builds in this area, typically you reduce your cap rate based on my experience, a couple points. Maybe 2%, 1.5%, 2%, as opposed to maybe a pre-owned property. I like both, but if my clients are wanting a little bit higher cap rate, I don't really sell anything I wouldn't personally purchase. And that kind of bubble that fits in is 1980 or newer, 3-bed, 2-bath or higher in a good school district. And what I like about that is, by that time, with maybe a house that's 10 years or older, we have a good pulse on what the neighborhood is like and what the future of that neighborhood is going to be. Whereas, if you balance it, a new build, you're going to have low maintenance costs probably over the next 10 to 20 years. So, it all kind of balances to some extent, but with some new neighborhoods, are there a lot of investors purchasing in that neighborhood? Is it going to be heavily investor? That does impact the neighborhood long term. Mm-hmm. So are you okay with that risk? Are you okay not knowing in 5 to 10 years is this going to be an area that you, that an owner occupant would want to move into? You know, if your exit strategy is rent it out, and then when it's vacant 10 years from now, do a make ready and turn it to an owner occupant to get a higher rate. You know, from investors are looking at numbers, but owner occupant is emotional. But if it's still 80% investor, I know how I feel if I drive through a neighborhood and if I want to live in it, if it's primarily, you know, tenant occupied properties. It just depends. It may have an HOA and it may be managed extremely well and everything may be kept up perfectly. There's so many moving parts to it, but I it would just depend on that particular investor for me.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Yeah, so when you're looking at properties from your end, are you able, or how easy is it for you to determine whether or not the homes in a particular community that you're looking to invest in are owner-occupied versus investor or renter properties?
So they have a great feature in our MLS where I can actually pull a property profile and it will, for that zip code, it can pull data showing, you know, on the tax records who has a matching mailing address to the property address, which is typically a sign that that's an owner-occupied home versus a, you know, the property address and then a separate mailing address, which typically means that's, you know, an investor-owned property. So I'm able to pull that data for a particular property in that neighborhood. And it goes further into demographics as well. But I'm able to see, okay, this is a rough percentage of tenant occupied versus owner occupant in the neighborhood.
Which, you know, for an investor coming into a new market, I would think I'd want to be in an area where there's much more owner occupied because the properties are going to look better around me. And so that'll be able to help me attract a tenant and keep a tenant in my property.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So What do you think is going to go on with the Dallas market over the next 1 to 2 years?
All signs are pointing towards great. You know, Dallas-Fort Worth is an extremely diverse economy. Companies are still moving here. People are still moving here. So I really feel that based on the numbers I see right now, it's going to be great this summer. And as long as our economy continues to grow and Dallas-Fort Worth attracts, you know, the companies that it is, you know, I think that it's going to be great. You know, we're not reliant, like Houston is a great area, but again, you know, they had their flooding that they occasionally deal with. And, you know, it's very reliant on the oil industry. Here, you have so many different industries. Facebook put a data center just north of Fort Worth, Alliance Airport. You know, you have so many different, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. So many great things happening here that I see the market continuing to do great and mainly stay consistent, you know, no large dips or because I would expect even in a recession that because of how diverse our economy is, we would be able to weather that storm better than a lot of other areas.
Yeah. So when the last time we had a slowdown there in 2008, 2009, how much of a hit did that market take?
We did get hit, you know, so I wasn't a real estate agent or broker back then. I was in college, but, you know, just in talking with my associates, we did get hit and a lot of people bought some great properties then. However, you know, from what I've heard on the property management side, even when the market goes down, typically your demand for rent, you know, rental properties goes up because people may be losing their houses, but they still need somewhere to live. So there was a dip, but a lot of my clients, it's very interesting that bought in that time period. Maybe have cashed out into larger properties. It's amazing the appreciation that has happened just in 10 years. Sometimes it's double the value that they purchased the properties at. But from mentors and Steve and other folks that I've spoken to, you know, it was tough, it was hard, but it wasn't devastating, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, if you buy right and you're not having a loan that's coming due and, you know, a year and they have to go back in and ask you to put in more capital to bring the debt to equity under within guidelines. Yeah. I mean, I experienced with my own real estate. The rents went up when people started, you know, looking for new housing. It was great. I was making more money in 2010 on a lot of my rentals than I am today because there's just more supply, or people are getting their, you know, buying their own homes.
With investments in general, new investors, I always tell them when they're buying and maybe they just are starting, I always tell them, listen, if you're going to hold for 15 to 20 years, just know you're going to go through some recession and that your value may dip below what it currently is. But if your goal is to hold long term, then it's clear that real estate is tried and true as long as you do it smart. So just be prepared and don't invest all your money where you don't have repairs or reserves. You know, so we coach people through that to help make sure they're starting correctly and also aware of, you know, what's going to actually the reality of investing in real estate over the next 15 to 20 years.
Exactly. And the other thing about that is that I hear everyone always want appreciation. Great. Appreciation's something that I call the icing on the cake. It's the cash flow. That's why we're investing in these properties. If you want to turn around, hope the property's going to run up by 20% or whatnot, that's more of a flipper mentality that you're going to pull that out right away and sell it. But if you invest long-term, it doesn't matter what the value does. As long as it keeps producing cash in your mailbox every month, you should be happy.
Exactly. Agreed.
So if they want to get in contact with you, what should someone do?
Perfect. Well, they can Google us, Visions Realty Investments. They can call me on my cell phone, 817-269-0988. Let me slowly give this out. 817-269-0988. And I am one of those unique realtors that actually returns phone calls. So if you do call, I will call you back.
Great. So I'll put some information in the show notes as well so people can reach out to you. And then if they want to, you all want to go down and invest in Dallas, Texas, Jason is an expert in that market, helping investors find the right properties for them to add to their portfolio. Any parting words?
Appreciate the time. Anybody's welcome. And I really appreciate you having me on the podcast, Clint.
Great, Jason. Thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds great.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.